It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. A measles outbreak in Texas has public health officials worried about a bigger resurgence of one of the world's most contagious diseases.
And Wisconsin may be vulnerable. According to state health data, Wisconsin has the second lowest measles vaccination rate for children nationwide.
Just ahead, we'll check in with a county health official in northern Wisconsin about measles vaccination rates there and local challenges. First, we take a look at why measles is back in circulation and how misinformation and vaccine hesitancy are contributing to the spread. Malia Jones is a public health researcher and assistant professor in the Department of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison. Malia, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Measles was declared eliminated from the U.S. in 2000, according to the CDC, but there have been measles outbreaks over the quarter century, and now most recently the death of a child in Texas. Why is there alarm in the public health community?
Yeah, we are seeing these increasing numbers of outbreaks. We did achieve elimination status back, as you say, in 2000. But over the decades since then, we've seen more and more outbreaks happening. And it's still considered eliminated. But when we see these increasing numbers of outbreaks and an increasing size of outbreaks, we do really worry that measles is on its way back and we could lose our elimination status. And the main reason for that, as you suggest, is because of dropping vaccination rates.
How serious is the measles? What are some of the possible health complications?
It is very serious. The vast majority of kids who get measles get a rash and miss some school. But in more serious cases, and they're not all that uncommon, kids can also get pneumonia. You can get encephalitis leading to brain damage or even death. Blindness and deafness used to be really common, much more common than they are today as a result of measles infection. And the one that I worry about the most as an infectious disease epidemiologist is it's actually pretty common for when you have a measles infection for a couple of years afterwards, the kid's immune system is suppressed. And so they're much more vulnerable to all the other stuff that is going around. And so you actually see elevated rates of death from all infectious causes after a measles outbreak.
Why? Why are measles survivors more vulnerable to all of these other diseases for years after?
Yeah, we're just starting to explore the why of that question. What we know is that measles attacks the immune memory cells. And so if you have had some other infectious disease and have some sort of immunity built up to it, measles infection will wipe that out. And so you become vulnerable again to diseases that you got some immunity to previously. So we could see increased deaths from, for example, flu or other common infectious diseases that kids get all the time as a result of a lot of kids getting measles.
And even a vaccination rate that may sound high, like an 80%, 85%, yeah, leaves communities vulnerable to an outbreak. Why is that?
Yes. Measles, we need really, really high vaccine coverage in order to protect a community from a measles outbreak. And the reason is that it is the most infectious disease on Earth. Nearly everyone who is exposed to measles and has not been vaccinated will get it. So there's something called the reproductive number for measles. It's about 12 to 18. That means for every infection, it can spread to 12 to 18 more people who are unvaccinated. And if you think about a school setting or some other kind of congregation of kids together, it's very easy to get 12 or 18 kids in a room. And if a lot of them are unvaccinated, you're really going to see very rapid spread. So for measles, we need something like 95 to 98% of all people to be vaccinated in order to protect us from an outbreak. And we're well below that in many, many settings now.
How does that compare to COVID in terms of the spread?
It's much more contagious than COVID. It also spreads. It's an airborne transmission. And so COVID-19 spreads through small sort of droplets that fly through the air and occasionally can become aerosolized and hang out in the air for a little while. But measles, it spreads through the actual air. So a kid can become infected just by entering a hallway that an infected kid has recently been in. It can remain infectious in the air for hours afterwards. And so it really does spread very easily.
I want to return to what you said a moment ago about vaccine hesitancy and anti-vaccine sentiment. It is an issue in this country. What is the impact of false narratives?
Yeah, for measles in particular, there was this incident that happened many years ago. A doctor named Andrew Wakefield published a study, a small study showing a link between measles vaccine and autism. And a couple of years after that, it was revealed that he fabricated the data for that study. It was completely invented. But once that idea was out there in the stratosphere, it's really hard to get rid of. And so the rumor is still going around that measles vaccine can lead to autism. That is not true. And in fact, there aren't a ton of things that I would come on live radio and say, we know for sure that measles vaccine does not cause autism. But this has been studied very thoroughly. And so this is one that we really are very confident.
Fast forward to today, U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has downplayed the seriousness of the Texas outbreak. And let's listen to that moment at a White House cabinet meeting last week.
It's not unusual. We have measles outbreaks every year.
But then yesterday, Kennedy authors an opinion piece on the Fox News site saying he is deeply concerned about the recent measles outbreak. Malia, from your perspective in public health, what do you make of this switch in his level of concern?
Yeah, I think that I was happy to see yesterday's opinion piece showing some more support for vaccination, but he really did stop short of saying that vaccination is necessary and safe. I don't see it as a reversal so much as he's probably under a lot of pressure to acknowledge the facts here. And in fact, during that opinion piece yesterday, he said that vaccination is a family's decision to make and that we should focus on treatment. And then he named a treatment that has not been proven and neglected to mention that there is no treatment for measles. So I was not really satisfied by yesterday's opinion piece, although I think it was a little step in the right direction towards encouraging families to get vaccinated in this current context.
Malia, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Malia Jones, public health researcher and assistant professor in the Department of Community and Environmental Sociology at UW-Madison. We've been talking about a growing measles outbreak in Texas and the risks here in Wisconsin. And now to a county in northern Wisconsin that has seen a sharp decline in measles vaccination rates. Melissa Geach is health officer for the Iron County Health Department. Melissa, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Data from the state health department shows that Iron County saw a 20% drop in the percentage of two-year-olds with the measles shot between 2013 and 2023. Why are fewer parents getting their babies vaccinated for measles?
You know, there are a few reasons why vaccines are declining. As Malia discussed, misinformation and concerns about possible side effects have made some parents hesitant, especially with this mixed messages about the safety of vaccines. However, there's also access. A big challenge is families in rural areas may have to travel long distance or they struggle to get timely appointments. Competing priorities like food security or food insecurity, job loss, unstable housing, and lack of paid time off can make it difficult for parents to prioritize vaccines. And for some, measles just doesn't feel like an urgent threat because they've never seen a case firsthand.
And you're in a much more rural area, far northern Wisconsin. Is, as you mentioned, transportation, that could be a barrier to getting to a pediatric appointment.
Yeah, in Iron County, we do have two small clinics that provide immunizations to residents. However, some may choose to travel up to 60 minutes to see a pediatrician, whether that's West Ashland or south to the Minocqua or Woodruff area.
Melissa, what kind of vaccine outreach efforts do you have at the county level?
We're working on a combination of education, outreach, and those access improvements to increase immunization rates. But there's really no one size that fits all solution because people have different challenges. So One of our challenge or one of our solutions is that our health department is a vaccine for children provider, and we offer free vaccines for eligible children. And if parents have challenges making appointments with the clinic, we coordinate with those local clinics and help parents schedule those timely appointments. We've also found that phone calls and reminder letters help keep kids on schedule. And then our schools do play a key role in linking families to us for accurate vaccine guidance and assistance.
Do you see older kids catching up and getting the vaccine when they reach school age?
I do. In Wisconsin, when they reach school age, Wisconsin requires certain immunizations for school entry. However, we're seeing some rising exemption rates, meaning not all kids are choosing to get, or parents are not choosing to get their kids vaccinated. And this does create the gaps in immunization rates and puts our kids at risk for making, or for disease and making outbreaks more likely, which, you know, can ultimately lead to school disruptions.
Melissa, in our final moments together, are you concerned about a possible measles outbreak in Iron County?
Well, in our small community, a measles outbreak could be difficult, as you know, it would be an all hands on deck effort in our with our small staff here, and I think it would be a challenge. However, we have a close knit community and people really come together. So when contact tracing and people are really looking out for their community, so they do find themselves isolating and making sure that they're safe.
Yeah. Melissa, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Melissa Geach is Health Officer for Iron County Health Department in Northern Wisconsin. Earlier, we spoke with UW-Madison Public Health Researcher Malia Jones. We've been learning about a measles outbreak sweeping across Texas and how Wisconsin could be impacted by this highly contagious virus with a low vaccination rate for children.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, chatbot programs are just one part of the field of artificial intelligence. Two Wisconsin researchers look at the practical applications and how students are getting hands-on training.
It's really important that we not only give our students the theory behind it, but how am I going to use it?
Wisconsin explores the future of artificial intelligence. That's ahead here on WPR News.